Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, save 50% off all window styles, plus a bonus 10% off and zero interest for 6 years. Book now at 866-90-NATION or at windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday, which is Duran Duran. It's chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from them, send your request to Nolan. Plaza Support Text Line, 410-583-1057. You want to get in? You can. You can have NFL lunch with us. We can talk to you later in the hour. Your predictions, your hatred for Pittsburgh. If you hate the Ravens for whatever reason, you're a self-loather. That's your business, but we'll listen to your reasons for such. But let's get back to John Harbaugh. Talked about this opening of the show. Talked about it with Jonas Schaefer last hour. John Harbaugh, what's up with Rashad Bateman there?
I really have nothing to report on any of that stuff. We'll be working through all those things next few hours and a few days even. But we'll be in good shape. We'll be ready to roll on Sunday.
You know, I mean, he even said Sunday, I think. He's all discombobulated.
He's probably frustrated as hell, just like anybody else is. You know, Bateman news with his foot, walking around in a boot.
I don't.
Sounds to me, because usually he's like, oh, he's great, and you know,
he'll be all right.
Yeah, no, that sounded a little more pessimistic than I guess than we anticipated.
Yeah, and if he's going to be out for a while, does that open the door for Odell?
Well, let's worry about tomorrow first. He's not playing tomorrow in a boot 2 days ago. Aguilar might get cleared coming through concussion protocol. I mean, how does this affect?
I think it's going to be
Bateman's
a tight
coming
end
off
game.
The best game of his career, arguably.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight end game, Bob. I think Andrews and Likely are going to have big days. And you know, I think Lamar will dump the ball. I think Justice Hill probably have another big day.
All right, let's get to John Harbaugh talking about, you know, the first game. Ravens had a ton of turnovers, ton of penalties, missed field goals, et cetera, et cetera. So improvements you want to see ahead of this matchup with first place on the line?
There's a lot of things. No question about it. I mean, at different levels of things. You know, there's the big picture things, offense, defense, special teams that we've talked to our guys about. Then there's the details in every position room in terms of things that we want to do better. But it's never the same game either. You know, there's going to be different things. Different plays are going to be run on both sides, different schemes. So you take them as they come, you know, going forward. And the idea that we can play good winning football, you know, out there. And we've been doing that, you know, for the most part all season. And continue to improve.
He didn't say anything, Bob. You know, he didn't say there was no details in anything he said. He was just like
good winning football.
Yeah, just generalities, Bob. You could he's puckered up a little bit Pittsburgh week.
Yeah, and we'll do stats later on in this hour, but we've talked about it ad nauseum. Ravens are coming off a game last week, a game they won by 21 points where they had 12 turnovers, or 12 penalties rather, 8 on the defensive side, and they've been last in penalties all season long. And going back to that first game, that was one of the main reasons they walked out of there with a very disappointing L. And Vinovich, we talked about it with Jonas, you and I talked about it yesterday with Nolan, a lot of PIs,
yep,
which has been a problemo. for the Ravens here this season. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch the first quarter. I guess tones will be set, if you will, if we see a lot of laundry there.
Yep. I think tones will be set, and they'll be feeling out early on. You know, what are the Ravens doing different than they did last time? What is Pittsburgh doing different than they did last time? And the other thing they're going to be feeling out, what are we getting? What percentage of what are we getting? That's one of the bigger ones. And then how's Pittsburgh going to play it, you know, without Elliott? How does that factor in? And I think the Ravens, you know, coming off the bye and stuff and playing the Giants where they most of them played three quarters, I think the Ravens are well rested and stuff for this game.
But Nolan McGraw, who will be with us, by the way, at Horseshoe Casino tomorrow, Brew Brothers, for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show brought to you by Rice, Mirth, and Pesaurus. To Vinny's point, are you sensing a stressed John Harbaugh? Because Tomlin seems, man, I'm good. Bring it on. It's probably 1-8. That's their problem. Don't worry about us. That's more of a them thing. Are you put on your? You did graduate college, right? Schippenberg State, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. There might have been some.
Paid to get that degree? I'd like to know. But do you sense that John Harbaugh is feeling a little stress ahead of this matchup on national TV?
Oh, definitely. I think you could hear it in his voice a little bit on Monday. Even coming off a win, they knew, all right, quick turnaround. Here's the real tough challenge. Everyone keeps saying 3 games in 11 days, but with that first one being against the Giants, that was supposed to be a puffy pants blowout special. After that game was over, that's when the real schedule started. And honestly, I mean, Cleveland on the back end, probably an even tougher matchup for Baltimore than the Giants were. So I would have said that the tougher stretch actually was these 3 games here. Steelers, Texans, Browns.
Well, when you're playing the Giants, it's a different type of pressure, you know, because you're expected to win by so many. So, you know, the pressure of we're supposed to kill these people, you know, and then if we don't, what's wrong with us? And they handled that issue. And now this is for real. I mean, this is, you know, for first place. And this one has everything on the line. This is the biggest game of the season for them up to this point.
And to the point of handling their business, look, they fumbled in their first drive.
Second play of the game.
Yeah, and then, like, oh, here we go. And then the penalties kind of led to New York scoring touchdowns. But you try to live that one against Pittsburgh, you're going to feel the pain of defeat. George Pickens not playing. J.J. or T.J. Watt is. But the impact of Pickens' absence, John Harbaugh, on the Steelers' offense.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a great player. It's no different than any of their other players or any of our guys who play or don't play. It's a factor, you know. But it's not unusual. This is the type of thing that happens throughout the course of the season with every team. You got to find a way to play and win games without players when they can't play. And you know, hopefully, you don't have too many of those. From our perspective, we've been pretty good this year with the injuries, and I appreciate that. And it's been a good year that way, and hopefully, you know, it continues.
All right, if Harbs was being honest and telling us the truth, Bob, here's what he would have said. Hell yeah, we're glad he's out. He's their best player. We're not scared of any of their other receivers. And, you know, he's 6'4", he's good in the red zone, had 80 yards against us last time. Damn right it matters.
And then finally, John Harbaugh, news from the Nest, talking about the officiating crew. Bill Vinovich is the referee there. Jonas Schaefer actually asked this question.
Yes and no, because you can never say that this crew calls more of this. I've learned that. I've learned that by going all down that road. And they call more holding. They call more pass interference. They never call defensive holding, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, the flags fly or they don't fly, you know. And I think that I know that the league office, you know, Walt Anderson, Perry Fuel, they really try to communicate with their officiating crews in terms of what they want the interpretations to be on the different calls. So they're training those guys all the time, and we get those tapes. We're privy to what they're telling the guys.
I guess what he's talking about, interpretations of, like, pass interference and stuff, I'm guessing that's what he's talking about. But, Bob, I mean, when I was in San Fran, I never heard of, you know, teams, maybe Shanahan did and Ray Rhodes did, but Greg Williams in Washington, he would meet with the defense every Monday. All right, here's the officials, and here's what they call. Be aware, You know, like if it was Vinovich's crew, all right, DBs, you got to be aware they're going to throw flags on PI, so don't get your hands on people. You know, and I'm sure they're telling Joey Porter Jr. the same thing. Hey, Joey, can't get your hands on people this game. And I'd be telling Wiggins the same thing because he's grabby. Wiggins is the grabby. Wiggins and Marlon are the two grabbiest Ravens.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count that weekend money, buy or sell. Talk about that. Boy, there's a ton going on in sports. We'll get into all of that. Maryland tomorrow at, they're not at Syracuse, taking on the Orange at Barclays Center. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Preview that game with him. Vinny, stat breakdown of the Ravens and Steelers. Feed you more football, NFL lunch style. We'll do our picks for this weekend. And then we're going to hear from Bill Cowher and Ryan Clark talking about this matchup. Former Steelers, I'm sure their opinion will be unbiased and right down the line.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is Steelers Friday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Baltimore 6.5-point favorites tomorrow at home. Taking on the first place Pittsburgh Ball Club. We'll get into that and more moving ahead because there's tons going on in the world of sports. But right now, hopefully we're counting some weekend money, buy or sell.
Well, Bob, the Dow, it's up 809.
Ooh, that's good, right?
Oh, very good. The S&P's up 107. The NASDAQ is up 359. DraftKings up 56 cents. Under Armour's up 30 cents. So it's a strong Green Friday.
All right, we'll start here with an interesting piece from ESPN's Bill Barnwell. He's got a list here of every NFL team's biggest mistake in the last 5 years. Now you're asking yourself, what's involved there? What does he mean by biggest mistake? This is full scope. Signings, draft picks, coaching hires, you name it. Biggest mistake since 2020. No surprise Deshaun Watson's your number one for Cleveland, but coming in at number 20 was the Ravens, and his pick for the worst decision by the Ravens in the last 5 years, their one-year deal they gave Odell Beckham Jr. He says, there aren't many Ravens transactions that lead to widespread confusion, but giving Odell that much guaranteed money was uncharacteristic for the franchise. Combine that with some mediocre stats, you know, 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, and you have, his opinion, the worst move of the last 5 years for Baltimore. Are you buying or selling that take, Vinny?
I'll sell it. I don't, you know, because did that help get Lamar signed? And, you know, some of the other things that went in it, too. And he made some big plays for them. He was great in the locker room. He was, I mean, at training camp, he was the first one out there every day and stuff. So I don't, you know, I would say Marcus Williams is a much worse signing than Odell Beckham Jr.
What do you think, Nolan?
In terms of the way it panned out, yeah, my initial reaction was Earl Thomas, but that missed the cutoff window. That was 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So that's a no-brainer, I would think, the Earl Thomas move. But other than that, I was struggling to think. None of their first rounders since 2020 have been your stereotypical bust. I mean, sure, you know, guys, you know, Patrick Queen's no longer with the team, but he still played well here. Recent draft picks are ascending. Even Adafe Owe and Rashad Bateman are playing the best years of their career.
It could be Ajabo, maybe.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a strong candidate.
Yeah.
By the way, Earl Thomas, as lame as he may have been, did make the Pro Bowl that year.
Yeah.
The whole roster made the Pro Bowl.
That's right. Yeah. I think Poe was the cheerleading or the mascot Pro Bowler that year.
Well, baseball news. Right, we knew that the Cardinals were going to be shopping Nolan Arenado this winter, but apparently they were very close to working out a deal with the Astros here recently. Arenado, though, used his no-trade clause in his contract to veto the move, but the reason might not be what you expect. Not necessarily against going and playing for Houston. The reports are that he would just rather wait and see how the third base market unfolds in the coming months. Fair enough, but from the Astros' perspective, their relationship with Alex Bregman is now very much in question. Can they still fall back on him if Arenado doesn't want to be traded there after all? Buy or sell, Bob, Arenado will end up in Houston before opening day.
Yeah, I'll buy it. And the first thing I thought when this news broke a couple of days ago was, well, that means Bregman's gone. Is they're going to bring him in? And Arenado, not what he was when he was a multiple-time Gold Glover and a slugging third baseman in Colorado and in St. Louis. Hey, look, Goldschmidt's a free agent over there, too. Maybe, is he ready to transition to first? I don't know. But I think eventually wiser heads will prevail, and he'll go to a contender, not a team in St. Louis with the Cardinals, who seem to be kind of rebuilding right now.
Well, the new NFL kickoff rules, they probably don't have many public supporters. I know on this show, there's no support for the new kickoff rules. But the numbers are out so far this season, and it seems like it's reaching its intended goal. 32% of kickoffs have been returned this season compared to just 21% last year. And the league also says the number of injuries that occur during kickoffs has dropped because players aren't getting that full running start. Buy or sell, Vinny, all of this means the new rules are here to stay, whether we like it or not.
I'll soft buy it. I think there's still evaluation. And is it because, you know, the weather got colder and the ball doesn't travel as well? That's why we're getting more kickoffs? I don't know. But, I mean, it's on most returns. I would like to know how many penalties are there on the returns, because it seems like every return there's a penalty.
And maybe they could tweak, again, the yard line where a touchback gets you. It was going to be 35. They moved it back to 30. Could do 35 again. That might, you know, dissuade people from just booting it out of the back of the end zone.
Yep, no doubt.
But the format in general, I think, is probably, unfortunately, going to stay. We'll do a little NBA here. Darvin Ham, he's an assistant again. Had that stint with the Lakers a few years back. They fired him. Didn't land another head coaching gig, but he joined Doc Rivers' staff in Milwaukee and actually recently opened up, was very transparent in an interview with Mark Spears, saying that he thought it was crazy he didn't get more time to work with the Lakers in L.A. His direct quote here says, "To do as well as I did, I swear to God, anywhere else, I'm probably looking at an extension with what I did. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking actual facts. They go from not making the playoffs to the conference finals, and then you win the in-season tournament the next year." Bob, are you buying or selling? Ham would have had a longer leash with any team besides the Lakers.
I will buy that. There wasn't a bunch of failure. I mean, they won the mid-season tournament, and then eventually, they crapped the bed like right after that thing was done. You got to deal with the LeBron drama. And LeBron has the ear of Jeannie Buss. Now, J.J. Redick is kind of his lapdog, it seems, this year. Then you got Bronny coming in. So Darvin Ham's probably glad he got out of that mess. But, you know, it's not like he was atrocious, didn't know what he was doing in regards to X's and O's. He was in Milwaukee as an assistant when they won the NBA championship, right, back in 2021. He's also a guy Carolina fans remember broke the backboard on you guys in the NCAA tournament when he played for Texas Tech back in 96. He will get another head coaching job. And speaking of the Bucks, real quick, how about how they've stabilized things after a lame start to their season?
Absolutely. Well, before we get to Dave LaMonaco here, talk a little Terps. For the last time this week, two passes to see Nosferatu. The movie's coming out on Christmas Day. You can see it at select Baltimore area theaters. And maybe you're lucky enough to win a pair of tickets right now if you are caller number 5 at 410-583-1057. Your last chance for two passes to see Nosferatu.
And who knows, you might be able to sit next to Nolan McGraw at that movie premiere. It's Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. We'll come back. Dave LaMonaco, as Nolan said, TerrapinTimes.com, preview Maryland, Syracuse. Big picture scenario possibly for Kevin Willard's Terps and what's going on with the portal. Maryland's losing a lot. Where's the incoming players?
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, featured artist Friday, Duran Duran, is chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, send your request to the Plaza Ford text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Terps tomorrow, Barclays Center taking on Syracuse College basketball. Here to preview that, talk about what's happening down with Mike Loxley's football program as the bowl cycle is began. We're watching a game right now, as a matter of fact, and Maryland's not in it for the first time in 4 years. From TerrapinTimes.com, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program, Dave LaMonaco. Dave, good afternoon. What is happening? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and the family.
Merry Christmas, Bob. How are you, my man?
Doing all right, dude. And let's start with the Turtles, Kevin Willard. 9-2, coming off a demolition of a team they were supposed to blow out. They're 9th in net rankings here, 15th there. I mean, they're doing some really good things, getting more credit for their losses than for the wins because they haven't, air quotes, beaten anyone just yet, even though Villanova's showing a pulse. What has been real? What has been fictional about their success? I mean, they're shooting the ball well. They're keeping the turnovers to a minimum. What's real? What's something that might be exposed once the schedule really starts to get difficult here?
Yeah, their 3-point shooting, it looks to be the real deal right now. They went out and got shooters in the offseason, and they are doing what they were brought here to do. Jacoby Gillespie, the point guard, Roddy Rice, Celton Miguel, those guys are doing what they did at their previous schools. They were brought here to shoot. It looks like they're shooting. They're passing the ball well. I think that's always going to be a that's one thing that they're doing well. And then defense is something that Kevin Willard is known for. So defensively, they're playing well. Maybe something that's might be exposed a little bit, just how they run their offense. They don't do a ton of off-the-ball screens. They don't do a ton of backdoor cuts. That might be exposed a little bit. They don't run a whole lot of very imaginative sets. It's kind of more like a motion offense almost, which, I mean, some teams can do very well with that. Maybe they can, but teams that are very good defensively can, as you saw that, you know, what Purdue was able to do, they were able to defend Maryland a little bit. That might be able to be exposed a little bit, just the lack of creativity sometimes in the offensive end.
Now, Dave, in regards to the contributors, I mean, Queen's been everything we thought he would be, and then some. Who's a player or two that you like so far, but maybe there's more to the equation as they get in? They go to Washington, Oregon next week, then UCLA coming to town. Give us a couple of players that are ready to level up when it matters most.
The bench guys have been playing. Well, again, they haven't done a ton against the high major foes, but some of the bench guys have shown some intriguing things that you really kind of like when they have to come into the game for those 8 to 10 minutes to dispel the starters. I like Jay Young, the backup point guard. He's done, you know, he went 3 of 3 from beyond the arc against St. Francis, and he's done some pretty good things just running in transition and just playing. He's not the greatest defender, but he tries hard. He's an energy player, good passer, good ball handler. So when Jacoby Gillespie needs those few minutes on the bench, I think Jay Young is a pretty reliable guy there, especially with Deshaun Harris-Smith really sort of taking a back seat. Only played 4 minutes the other night. Word is that he's looking to transfer out to begin with, so he's sort of taken a backseat to Jay Young, who I really like. Malachi Palmer as well, the freshman. He's a big, tough guy out there on the perimeter, and kind of like what he's doing as well. And then also, you know, people always forget about Jordan Geronimo. He was hurt, had the hamstring injury, missed almost five complete games. But, you know, he's going to be imperative because he's a defensive guy. He doesn't have to score at all. If he could just come in there in Big Ten play, and if Julian Reese gets in foul trouble and he's able to give you some, you know, 10 minutes of solid defense where he's protecting the rim, that's really going to help. So those three guys are some guys to look for when conference play starts as backups to the starters.
And Dave, I was going to ask you about Julian Reese. Got in big foul trouble against Purdue. It was kind of a non-factor, especially in the second half. Had the double-double a couple of nights ago. How do we assess him senior year playing alongside Patrick Queen?
Bob, same thing.
Or Derek Queen, excuse me.
Yeah, it's the same thing as it's always been with Julian Reese. He shows up one game, doesn't show up the next. That's just who he is. We thought this year might be a breakout year because he's playing next to Queen or alongside of Queen. They might sort of play off each other, and they do. They do at times. It's just that Reese he doesn't really have that killer instinct that you sort of see. I mean, it comes out sometimes, but it's not consistent. He'll just, you know, Willard tries to get him, like, you know, ask for the ball, like, get down there and, you know, establish yourself down the post, demand the ball, and he's just not that type of player. Now, there's certain matchups that he'll exploit. If Maryland gets a good matchup or something like that, he'll go off for, you know, 15-12, 15-11, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to dominate game in and game out. The hope is that he plays well enough defensively and with rebounding that you know, it's worth having him out there on the floor, and usually it is. The problem is sometimes he gets in foul trouble. That's been something that he's done his entire career. So, you know, he gets in foul trouble, and then that's when Maryland sort of gets in trouble, and you're looking at DeFarge, Pare, and Jordan Geronimo to pick up the slack when that happens.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, joining us here, Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, Featured Artist Friday, Duran Duran, by the way, Maryland tomorrow, taking on Syracuse. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan. The Orange coming in here, Dave, 5-5, J.J. Starling, their best player, broke his hand. He's been out for a few games. Freeman, the kid from D.C., he's having a nice freshman season. Where does Syracuse possibly pose problems for Maryland tomorrow afternoon?
Syracuse is really not having a great season. They're sort of in year two of that post-Jim Boeheim era. They don't play 2-3 zone defense anymore, so you don't have to worry about that occasionally, but it's usually man-to-man. They've really sort of struggled on both. They don't shoot three as well. Their defense has sort of been up and down. They can get to the rim and score. That's something that Maryland should be able, with two big guys in the middle and, you know, Geronimo on the bench, they should be able to stop that. But Syracuse excels maybe getting down the floor and getting into the lane to score, because they do have some big guys. And Donnie Freeman, the freshman, he's going to be a one-and-done type, might be a lottery pick. You know, he can pose some problems himself personally. But this is a game that Maryland should actually win. Syracuse is ranked below 100 in the KenPom. This is not your father's or grandfather's Syracuse. It's kind of like Villanova without Jay Wright. So, you know, Maryland should win this game by a handful of points, I would think.
Hey, Dave, where is the Terps with the portal? You know, they did a nice job with the high school kids, but they need portal help desperately because a lot of dudes are leaving. Are they getting any portal help?
Yeah, they got one receiver who they got because the coach at Wake Forest stepped down, so he flipped to Maryland. Caleb Webb, he only had 6 receptions last year. We don't know how helpful he'll really be, but that's the only guy they've gotten so far. They've contacted a bunch of guys. They had a tight end that was supposed to visit, not visiting. Had an offensive lineman that was supposed to visit, picked North Texas over Maryland. They're struggling, man, right now. Loxley is looking for apparently after the college football playoff. There's thought that they might be able to get a few guys that end up transferring from some of those teams, and maybe they will, but it's a little discouraging right now in terms of bringing transfers in. They've had some guys that have scheduled to visit and haven't visited. We're trying to look at it glass half empty here, but it's harder and harder to do at this point. So we'll sort of see. We'll hold off judgment until after the playoff and see if they can maybe get some guys on that end.
I my question, Dave, would be why? I mean, because when you said he chose North Texas over Maryland, you know, I mean, a Big Ten team. I mean, why can't they get anybody? Because they need O-Lima desperately. You know, where's the hope if they don't get any O-Lima?
Yeah. That is O-line is my biggest thing too. I always look at the O-line first. They let go of their line coach Braswell. They have supposedly a solid guy in there, a well-known Damian Rebluski, who's supposedly got a pretty good reputation. So it's just your guess is as good as mine, man, because it's been really really slim pickings here on the football side with that. I mean, sometimes Loxley can pull a rabbit out of the hat, but he's going to have to pull 5 out of the hat because they need 5 new offensive linemen.
Slim Pickens, great character actor from the 70s, by the way. It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, appreciate the time and the intel as always. Merry Christmas again. Happy holidays to you and the family. We'll talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There we go. It's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Vinny, stat breakdown. Only Vinny can break down the stats the way that he does. NFL Lunch coming up 1 o'clock. We're going to hear from Bill Cowher, Ryan Clark. They were on Inside Access yesterday talking about this rivalry. They were a big part of it way back when. We got our picks coming up for Week 16 and the college football playoffs, which start tonight. And if you want to join us, get in. Now's your chance. 410-583-1057.
Vinny and Haney crunch the numbers. Sunday Stats Preview, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It is Duran Duran, as chosen by you, the people. Another hour to go. Get your song request in. Nolan McGraw's got you covered. Ravens Steelers, 4:30 tomorrow. M&T Bank Stadium, Ravens 6.5-point favorites. Let's crunch the numbers. Break these two teams down statistically.
Yeah, how about the Steelers? They're a plus 18, which is number one in the league. The Ravens are a plus 2. All right, let's look at Ravens offense, Steelers defense. That's what this game's going to be about. Ravens offense, total offense, number one, 424.1. Pittsburgh defense, number nine, 316.6. Passing offense, Ravens are up to 3 again, 245.6. Pittsburgh's pass defense, 22nd, give up 222.3. Rushing offense, Ravens are 2nd, 178.4. Pittsburgh's defense, 4th, they give up 94.4 yards. Points per game, Ravens are 3rd, 29.9. Pittsburgh's defense gives up 18.96. They're ranked 6th. Pass attempts, Ravens are 28th. How about that? I mean, efficient, man. 405 pass attempts. You don't throw it a lot, but you're 3rd in passing. Pass attempts for the Pittsburgh defense, 24th, 475. So people like to throw it on them because they can't run it on them. Completion percentage, Lamar's 9th, 68.1. Pittsburgh's defense, 9th, 63.4. Average per completion, Ravens are 1, 8.8. Steelers defense, 13th, 7.0. Touchdown passes, Lamar's 2nd, 34. Pittsburgh's defense, 8th. They've only given up 16. Interceptions, Lamar's 31st, 3. Pittsburgh's defense, 3rd, 15. They got a bunch. Got a bunch of them. Sacks, Ravens are 29th. They're Lamar's 29th. He's only been sacked 22 times. Steelers are middle of the pack with 35. And if Watt is half a Watt, he's got, what, 11 and a half? Quarterback rating, Lamar's number one, 120.8. Quarterback rating, Steelers, they're 5th, 82.3. And that's kind of, and Lamar was, what, 66 last game. Rushing attempts, Ravens offense is 4th, 438. Steelers defense, they're 5th, 333. So, I mean, people throw it 475 times and rushed it 333. Average per rush, Ravens are 1st, 5.7. Steelers defense, they're 5th, 3.9. Third down conversions, Ravens 2nd, 49%. Steelers defense 7th, 35. Ravens penalties, 1st, 117 with 997 yards. That is crazy, crazy. We're like the Steelers, they're 13. Steelers have 90 penalties for 749 yards. All right, let's look at the Ravens defense, that improved defense against the Steelers offense. Steelers offense, 18th, 325.6. Ravens defense, they are now 17th. 344.
Moving on up.
Yes, they are. Pass offense, Steelers, 24th, 198 yards a game. Ravens pass defense, 31st, 258.9. After the Cincinnati game, they were 295. So they're making strides over the last 4 weeks. Rushing offense, Steelers are 10th, 126.6. Ravens defense, 1st, 80.7. And with Pierce and Travis Hunter both being back healthy, I think it's going to be, it'll be even that much better. Points scored, Steelers are 11th, 24. Ravens defense, 22nd, 23.7. So they give up 24 and the Steelers average 24. Passing attempts, Steelers are almost last, 30th, 398. Excuse me. Pass defense, the Ravens pass attempts, 31st. 526 times people have thrown it on the Ravens, which is a lot. Completion percentage, Steelers are 14th, 65.1. Ravens defense, 14th, 64.3. Average per completion, Steelers offense, 11th, 7.6. Ravens defense, 23rd, 7.4. Touchdown passes. Steelers are 19th with 18. Ravens are 26th with 24. But if I'm not mistaken, Bob, they've given up like one or two since the Cincinnati game. I think they've been very good.
Well, because that was rock bottom.
That was, what, five or six?
Yeah, I think Nolan had seven catches for 180 yards in that game.
Yes. Interceptions. Pittsburgh's offense, 30th. They don't throw it four. And one of them was with the Ravens. And the Ravens' defense is 20th with eight. They just catch the ones that they drop. That's the key. Just catch them. Sacks. Pittsburgh's offense is 13th with 37. Ravens' defense is now third, 44. Quarterback rating. Steelers are 10th, 99. Ravens' defense is 20th, 95.2. Rushing attempts. Steelers are second, 455. So they throw it 400, and they've rushed it 455. Rushing attempts. Ravens are third, least. 323 rush attempts. So they've thrown it almost 550 and rushed it 300. Average per rush. Steelers offense, 30th, 3.9. Ravens defense, first, 3.5. That's because their offensive line can't knock anybody off the ball. Third down conversion. Steelers are 13th, 39. Ravens defense, 23rd, 41.3. And like I said, Steelers are 13th with penalties with 90 with 749 yards.
Breaking news, if you will, coming out of one winning drive. Ravens themselves tweet this out. Nelson Agholor rolled out.
Ooh.
For tomorrow's game. Jets Rebeck tweeting this out that Tylan Wallace, Zay Flowers, and Tez Walker, are the only three healthy wide receivers. Bateman status to be determined. Ravens out till 4 o'clock today. Make roster moves ahead of tomorrow's game. If they call up two receivers, probably means Rashad Bateman will not be gone. Yeah, so no Nelson Agholor.
And you bring up another tight end, Bob? Oof. Yeah. That kind of surprised me about Agholor.
Because it seemed like he was trending and maybe playing. Even Harbaugh yesterday said he had a chance to get cleared. Was not cleared. Concussion protocol. So no Nelson Agholor. And who knows, no Rashad Bateman. So we shall see tomorrow at 4:30.
Yeah, that's... Damn, Tez Walker, good thing he caught his first pass.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. You want to join us for NFL lunch? Get on in here, 410-583-1057. Also here from Bill Cowher and Ryan Clark, who are on Inside Access. Get a Steelers perspective of tomorrow's game. And then we'll do our picks for Week 16 NFL and tomorrow and tonight. College football playoff, Indiana at Notre Dame. You can hear that game on The Fan.